Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Casey Tapes. I'm John Hewlett, along with the mighty Favaz.
Hello, John.
And we wanted to re-post this particular show because of the passing of Eddie Van Halen. This is a great interview that Favaz did with Sammy Hagar and Alex Van Halen, of course, Eddie's brother.
2004.
So here we go.
In Oklahoma City, and in it, I do talk about how Eddie almost ran over my foot, and the band, it was a very tumultuous time for the band. It was the Sammy Hagar reunion and all that good stuff, and it was a really good podcast, and originally we posted it on February 12th, 2019. We're going to do it again.
These are the Casey Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Casey, the longest-running rock station in the country.
All right, we're back. It's time for another edition of the Casey Tapes, episode number 19. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan and on Instagram at Johnny Hewlett.
Favaz, you can follow me at Casey Guy, Twitter and Instagram.
And today is a Favaz interview. And today is an interview that features two people at one time, the harder interviews to do because... You know, it's
they
harder.
Are.
Yeah, it's just you get too many people talking sometimes. People talking over each other, and you got to try to moderate that, and it's not easy.
And it's Sammy Hagar and Alex Van Halen. So you got one guy that just absolutely talks his ass off, which is Sammy. And Alex, I mean, he likes to talk too, but, you know, those two together was a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a big deal.
Now, what was the time frame on this?
Okay, this was actually recorded on July 25th, 2004, so almost... 15 years ago.
Wow.
It was recorded in Oklahoma City. Have you ever been to Oklahoma City before?
I have been through it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I was there for a night, and I was sent there. I could bring a friend. I brought my buddy Mark, and we went to see a Van Halen show on the promoter, Joe Litvag, and he wanted me to see the show so I would talk about it more. So I would talk about it and pump up the St. Louis shows, which weren't selling all that great.
And yeah, isn't that weird to think that?
Yeah, it's... I don't think they had anything new, Van Halen, at the time. This was the... maybe they did, a few songs or whatever, but this was the reunion with Sammy and Michael Anthony on the road. And so he wanted me to go down there and be excited about the show. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I was excited about it anyway, but I guess, you know, to go to another city and to see it and, you know, set up the interview with Sammy and Alex, I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, you see a show in advance. You know what's coming. You can kind of sell it to the audience in advance here in St. Louis. And it makes perfect sense why they would want you to go do that, especially, like you said, a tour that was starting to show some age to it or kind of get a little crispy around the edges. So they needed to... spark it up a little bit.
Because
I remember that slump kind of. Van Halen was starting to lose its momentum with Sammy.
Yes. And, you know, I think they were doing two shows in St. Louis. And the one that I went to, I remember seeing empty seats. And that was the first night. And the second night, I'm not sure exactly how it sold. But, you know, you could see why. And it was at a time when Eddie Van Halen was really drinking a lot. And, in fact, this night... of this interview was written about in Sammy Hagar's autobiography because they almost got in a fight after the show because they hated one another, Sammy and Eddie.
Will we be able to tell that in this interview?
No.
I don't know.
You know, Eddie wasn't involved. So I have to tell you, so we get there. We get there really early in the day. It's like 3:00 in the afternoon and we're at their version of, you know, the Enterprise Center. And so the band comes in. So Sammy sees me. You know, I'm in the hallway. And Sammy and Michael Anthony see me. Favaz, you know, and they're hugging me and everything. I didn't really know Alex. I didn't know Alex Van Halen. So he, you know, doesn't say anything. Eddie Van Halen is on a scooter with one of those scooters that have the handlebars that come up and, you know, you push with one foot. Yeah. And he had a wine bottle in one hand. And he had his other hand on the scooter. And he was coming down, you know, the gangway there in the venue and almost ran over my foot.
Oh, you're kidding
me. I mean, like I had to jump back.
Was he drunk?
Oh, well, If I had to guess, I would say yes. He was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
But not so drunk that he couldn't be on a scooter, because you got to have a little balance involved there, right?
True, true. But at the same time, he's Eddie Van Halen. So whether he had balance or not, I don't think he really cared, you know? And it was kind of crazy.
Where was he coming from?
They just got dropped off at the venue. So, you know, they don't all walk down together. You know, I mean, Sammy and Michael were, you know, because they're good buddies and stuff like that. And I don't remember if Alex, you know, came by himself. But I mean, I definitely know that Eddie, and he had his son Wolfgang there. And Wolf was only, you know, probably, gosh, this was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was probably only 9 or 10 at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Eddie was just kind of out of control. But I do have an even better story before I had to do this interview. So I'm waiting in one of the dressing rooms. The manager comes up to me and he goes, "Would you mind changing shirts to keep world peace?" That was his direct quote. Did I ever tell you this story?
No.
So
what were you wearing?
I was wearing a Cabo Wabo shirt.
Oh.
And a nice shirt, red shirt. It was like a t-shirt, you know, and it had Cabo on the side. And at the time, I didn't really understand. And I was like, "You want me to change shirts? Who am I going to change shirts with?" Joe Litvag, the promoter, was standing right there. And he and I are roughly the same size. And he goes, "Well, I'll change shirts with you." I was like, "Okay. To keep world peace, whatever."
Yeah.
Change shirts. And I wore Joe's shirt during the interview, which you can't see here. But I came to find out that that Alex and Eddie hate Cabo Wabo because they sold their interest. They tried to get Sammy to sell his interest. He didn't. Sammy turned it into a multi-million dollar thing. And I don't think he had sold it yet to Campari, the people that own it now. So he hadn't made his $90 million or whatever, but he was a multi-millionaire because of Cabo Wabo. So, you know, they forbid Sammy to wear anything Cabo Wabo on stage. That's why Sammy got the Cabo Wabo tattoo. Because now, you know, he can, you can't hide that. You know, what, are they going to make him hide it? They're not. So at the time, I had no idea to keep world peace.
Yeah.
And what was I told Sammy about this about 4 months later when I was in Cabo, and he was pissed. He goes, "Favaz, if I'd have known that, I would have punched whoever said that." I was like, "Well, it was your manager. It was your tour manager, just to let you know."
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy.
That's funny. Wow. Yeah, you never told me that story before.
Yeah, I had to change shirts. So that was something different.
Where is the tattoo on Sammy?
I think it's up here on his bicep.
Oh, okay. So it's a place where you can cover it up. It's not like on the back of his hand when he's holding the microphone.
No. It was a big tattoo. Yeah. I think it had the lighthouse. Yeah. I'm trying to remember it, but, you know, that was the reason. And we were, so we did the interview, and I'll save the best story for last, but I'll say that Eddie treated his guitar tech like crap. He was drunk.
Yeah.
And so we were down there for sound check, and we got to watch sound check, and it was amazing because the band does sound check, Sammy doesn't. So they were just running through the music, and he just berated his guitar tech constantly. And he did it that night at the show too. And
on the microphone?
On the microphone. Yeah, and
how did you hear that?
Oh, you could see him talking to him.
Oh,
I mean, it was just like obvious, and it was bad. You know, but it was Eddie Van Halen, and you're like, "Oh my God, he's playing!" You know, we're watching soundcheck, and he almost ran over my foot.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it was kind of cool. And then, but you know, the Eddie and Al, or I'm sorry, Sammy and Al, you know, gave the interview, and I was wearing a different shirt, and I kept world peace.
All right, well, here we go. Ready?
Ready.
All right. So I'm in Oklahoma City now, and here I see Sammy Hagar. You know, it's funny. You know, I follow. You know, I've been in a few places and seen Sammy, like Tahoe and Cabo, of course. And
what?
Now the
you brought up Cabo,
of,
you son of a bitch! You brought up Cabo.
I brought
Cabo.
It up. Well, I didn't know. I told you at the time I didn't know.
Oh, that's
no,
right.
But I brought up Cabo.
Yeah, but you knew you had to change your shirt.
No, but I brought up Cabo, the place, not Cabo Wabo, tequila.
Oh.
I brought up the location.
I thought they were one and the same kind of, no?
Yeah, well, they got the same name. But I said, I've seen you in Cabo. Oh. That's the place.
All right.
Getting Jeez. Alex Van Halen also. So I
forgive you.
Sammy and Al here. Guys, hello.
How you doing, St. Louis?
How is everybody?
So how's it been? I know that's a proverbial question, but it's been about a month and a half now. What's been going on?
Too long of a month and a half, but I'm so.
Well, I mean, officially on tour.
Man, I can feel the tension already.
Thinking back on it, it was weird because I've interviewed Sammy so many times, right. But to have somebody else, a Van Halen brother there. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Trying to get a lick, trying to get a lick in before Sammy starts.
Well, you know, I've been hearing sound bites come down from our music sources and stuff like that, and you guys are going back and forth pretty good. It seems like when you do the interviews,
Alex and I get along really on a social, goofy level. We goof off a lot. I mean, we actually have really a good time doing interviews.
Is Sammy lying right here?
No. But, he gets along with Alex.
Really incredible. It's been like. Every night you get, there you go, you get surprises like that. But you want to wait or you want to go? Okay, the lack of even feeling rusty or feeling like, geez, I got to get to know these guys again from the very first show, there was none of that. There's been, it just been a complete, like right back finish, you know, where we started. And I think that's just amazing after 8 years, however long since we did the last show before we started this thing. Rehearsal didn't feel that way. At rehearsal, everybody felt a little uncomfortable. The second we hit the stage with, you know, 12, 14,000 people out there, it was just like, boom, like we never stopped. And that's really the truth.
And you feel the same?
Yeah.
So Sammy was lying partly there. I mean, it was, you know, not a good tour as far as them getting along with Eddie, basically. It's Eddie and everybody else.
Why was Eddie not involved in this?
Eddie never really does interviews.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he was pretty inebriated by 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it would have been fun.
Yeah.
But no, not him.
Anyway?
Well, you got to remember, we spent a majority of our adult lives together. You know, we spent 11 years concentrated in making music and touring. It wasn't like we saw each other every other week. It was every day in close quarters under high stress conditions, right? So we'd seen the best and the worst of each other. And, I don't know, the 8 years, like Sammy said, was just kind of blew by. I don't know why. I can't explain it. It's just that when Sam and I first got together and just to have lunch, it was like we didn't miss a beat. You know, it's like I'd seen him yesterday.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's a strange thing because just like I said, when you spent that much time with someone, you really do know them a lot more than you think. You know, like at the time, you could hate them. You could be mad at them. You could be fighting, arguing. You know, we did. We all split on bad terms. There's no question about that. 7, 8 years go by. You get together again. You really realize that you know that person really well. And when you know someone that well, you gotta like them because you can't get to know someone that well without liking them. You know, if you hate someone, you break up. It's like a family, like a relationship, a marriage. You know, once you start fighting, it's over. Well, we had 9.5, 10 great years together out of the 11.
Alex is kind of laughing.
Oh, he's totally laughing, and he knows. You know, it's funny to hear Alex's voice, though, because I can hear Eddie's voice because they have the same inflection and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just funny that they're, you know, he's talking about, oh, we're not fighting. This tour did not go smoothly, like I said.
Right.
And in fact, this is the last, not this interview or this show, but this was the last year that they all got together and did a tour. It's been almost 15 years.
Hey, good. That's like 90.
Better than most bands.
Yeah.
So, Alex, did you ever think, though, that in that time when you guys split that Van Halen would never play again, period, with Sammy, with Dave, with anybody? Did you ever think it was just over?
No. Ed and I always go in the studio to play, make music. You know, it's just, it's not complete unless you have a whole band. But I can't explain it other than we didn't look further than tomorrow. You know, Ed had the health issues, and that was something that took a lot of time and energy, and you know, we'll visit that some other time. But when he came out the other end, it gave him a whole different perspective of things. I think Ed became a little bit more pliable, if you will, or receptive to you know, more different ways of looking at things and not be so serious about certain things. I don't know where I'm going with this other than I'm just kind of a general comment. You know, those years seem to go by very quickly. You know, we had a couple of missteps here and there, but we never stopped making music. But ultimately, you know, when it came to when Sammy called and we talked, you know, I realized I'd never spoken to Sam or said bye to him or even had a chance to yell at him, you know, yell and holler a little bit. it was basically Ed and Sam had the last conversation. And, you know, I don't trust what anybody tells me, you know, because I wasn't there. So I don't know.
So the health issues that he was talking about with Eddie, in case people don't know, are either the hip, because he had hip replacement, and he had cancer of the tongue because he smoked.
Yes.
Like a chimney for years and years and years.
Right. And the alcohol.
Right. Yeah, that certainly didn't help. Yeah. So that's what he was talking about. And to hear Alex talk about the whole deal is kind of funny. He just says, I don't believe anything anybody says. Because he wasn't there at that last conversation when Eddie basically kicked him out of the band on Father's Day on the phone.
Yeah. Wow.
And at this point, we don't care. The first thing Sammy and I agreed upon was we ain't looking backwards. We're gonna from this point on, we're going forwards.
You gotta do that.
And Alex, you know, he's always kind of been there in the background. He's kind of like that constant guy in the background of the band, in terms of the personality of the band, just the band on stage, everything about it. Is he a in your opinion, was he a settling force in the group? Was he a stable force in the thing?
Yes.
If you didn't have Alex Van Halen as the drummer, would there have not even been what we've gotten out of them over all these years, you think?
No. Eddie and Alex.
He's not an alcoholic, is he?
No,
Alex?
He was.
Oh, he was.
Oh, he was big time. Well, I guess you still kind of are, but I don't think he's had a drink in a long time. But Eddie and Alex as brothers, they love each other, and they fight for each other. They have each other's back no matter who it is.
Yeah.
So it's always the Eddie and Al show, per se.
So without Alex.
But Sammy has always said that Alex, out of the two of them, He could call him up tomorrow and go have lunch, and like he said, and everything would be fine.
Right.
You know, they just get along, and Alex gets along with Michael Anthony like that. It was Eddie that had the problem.
So your answer is yes.
Yeah,
without
he was
Alex.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that or else you go through 5 or 6 years of therapy just to find out that's
like Metallica did. Yeah.
No, just to find out that's what you should have done. We just leave it alone and say, no, you can rise above things. And we've all changed enough and grew just enough to where I just think it was time. I mean, the first single, you know, it's about time, really. I mean, the first thing I thought about to write about lyrically was, hey, just, you know, about that. It's just, this really felt like a right time. Because when I called Al, it wasn't about, hey, let's get back together. It was like I was in Southern California. I had this weird dream. You know, everybody knows me and my weird.
Was that your Ed Leffler dream?
Yes, it was. And we all know about Sammy has weird dreams. And I said, I'm calling Al.
What do you think of those dreams, Al?
I knew Ed Leffler, too.
Ed Leffler was their manager for a long time.
He
passed away, right?
Yes, he was Sammy's manager first, and then he became Van Halen's manager, and they all loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't take any shit off of anybody anywhere, man. He was
good.
He was good, yeah.
But, you know, and when we got together and we just started going, I don't think we ever looked at each other and said, even today, up to this moment, and ever said, hey, let's do it. No one ever said that. We just started doing it. It was just that kind of a deal. That means the time was right. I mean, you know, you don't, when you don't plan it and it just comes and smacks you and kicks you in the butt and makes you do it, it was undeniable. I mean, if anything, I would have had to say, hey, what's going on here? Wait a minute. I never agreed to this or something, because it just went. So I don't think you argue with that. And that's what I mean about it. It wasn't planned or none of that stuff. It was about time. And that's,
you know, you think back just in rock and roll history, just things as they've evolved for most bands, any band that has ever become successful, that's how it's always happened.
Pretty much.
It's just an organic thing that just happened, and everything falls into place. And anytime you try to put this guy with that guy and then make this band right here, if there is any success out of that, which isn't typical.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle, and it's usually short-lived.
Right.
You know?
Right. By the way, they were in support of Best of Both Worlds. Do you remember that? That was kind of like a greatest hits, and I think Sammy wrote like two or three new songs, but it came out in 2004. So that's what they were kind of, you know, in support of with this tour and the whole bit.
Okay.
Kind of what the song's all about, you know?
Were you, so when you figured that part out, though, were you worried that Eddie wouldn't want to do it?
Well, the way I looked at it is like, in 40 years, I'll be 90. And I don't want to be 90 and look back and say, you know, we should have done it when we had a chance. Sometimes things just kind of fall in your lap, you know, call it synchronicity, call it, you know, the gods from above, call it whatever you want. Just the moment was right. And there's no sense arguing with it. It's kind of an organic thing. I think what sealed it is when we went into the studio and started making music. That was it.
Well, I remember in the old days, the MTV thing, that when you guys first jammed, you started writing lyrics immediately, or was it that same old feeling kind of again? Was it?
Exactly. That's what I mean. When something's as strong as the bond we had as a band, you know. Like I said, no matter how bad it ended, no matter what was said, yeah, we said all that stuff. I've said everything you probably heard we said, maybe even said more than that, and vice versa. But the truth of the matter is, when you get back together and you feel that feeling of what it, the chemistry of this band feels like and how inspiring it is, it, you just go, oh, man, I remember this, and I miss this. You know what I mean? It's like you can be out doing, you know me, I was out doing everything and, you know, having a ball, you know, not even thinking about it. And but the second I went back in that studio with these guys, I mean, it was a sight, a sound, a smell, everything. And it just was overpowering. You just go, man, I remember this, and I miss it, and I like it. And, you know, I want some more of it. You know what I mean? Kind of like, oh, no, never mind.
Now, I am taping, but I'd rather not have to edit, okay?
Breakfast. All
right. Yeah, there you go.
Now, yes.
What was he referring to there?
I couldn't tell, unless you want to rewind that part. But I was going to say,
I love it. I want it. I want some more of it. That's from a song. What's that?
I don't know. All I know is this was a money grab tour.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say.
Oh,
yeah.
So, what's been the most surprising thing about the tour so far? Surprising, yeah. What surprised you so far?
You know, I think the biggest mental hurdle I think we had to get past, in my opinion, was to not be surprised by anything, because we had absolutely no idea what kind of response we were gonna get. And you know, we're doing this because we want to do it, not because we have to. So we laid a lot on the line to do this. So when it all fell together and the first tickets went on sale and went through the roof, we were very happy. You know, I think if nobody showed up, then we would have been surprised.
Yeah.
But
to say the least.
You know, it's very strange to put it into words, you know. I mean, we're through the roof. I mean, it's incredible, and it really is a testament to the audience. They're the ones who stuck with us. And you know, I'm gonna go out on a limb kind of and just say that the music has kind of gotten bigger than the band. You know, it's almost bigger. It's something one of my teachers told me a long time ago. Says, look, if you write a great piece of music, it'll outlive you. You know, it'll be here much longer than you, which I think is something that we've aspired, and we've accomplished some of it, and it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. I was just talking to Dennis DeYoung of Styx earlier this morning on the
mm-hmm.
radio
yeah.
live about his music living afterwards. And he mm-hmm. has he ever given any thought to that? And he goes, who cares? I don't care. I'll be dead when it's on. They got to care. And they got to be, you know, that's something that they got to be very proud of.
Right.
That they've created something out of, you know, their talents and their abilities, a piece of art that is going to live forever.
Absolutely.
Especially like a group like Van Halen, which has been so successful like that. I mean, you know, who knows where it goes? We'll all be dead and gone.
Right. But we'll still have
200 years from now
to see. Hot for Teacher and everything
else.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
you
think it's still going to live forever, but I don't know.
That was a Dave song, by the way. But
of course, the Best of Both Worlds just came out this past week, and the three new songs are on it. So tell us exactly what is Up for Breakfast about, Sammy.
What?
The edited version.
What's that?
Okay, so there was a song called Up for Breakfast.
Yeah.
It means you get a hard on
okay.
in the morning,
yes.
right? So that's why I say, well, tell us what it means, Sammy. We'll see. But this was for the radio, so I don't know how he's going to respond here.
Oh, same thing as Standing Hampton?
Exactly.
Sammy's into his erections.
You know what's funny about that song?
We don't all get to record songs about it and have people buy it.
Wrote different lyrics for that song, and nobody liked them but me. I wrote it was a wide open space, which was a whole different vibe. It wasn't, you know, at all sexual. So don't take it wrong, folks. I was talking about, you know, getting out of the city and the hustle and the bustle and kind of getting down to a real simple life. You know, almost like moving up country. You know, that kind of a song. Neil Young, moving to the country. No, that was Candy. Well, anyway, yeah, Candy. Neil Young had a song similar to that too about it's time to, you know. Basically, I was trying to write that, and nobody liked it. Everybody said, yeah, and I thought it was great. So I'm at my mother's house for Easter with my wife, and we're staying in a separate bedroom where we have at my mom's house.
Are you kidding?
No, it's not my original. I bought my
Are you kidding?
No. Wow. That's funny. Well, I'm trying to think now if I spent the night with my wife at my mom's house. No, we'd sleep together. I mean, my mom comes to our house and we sleep together. Just
right.
because mom's in the house, whichever house it is doesn't mean we all
know. Maybe it's out of respect for, you know, that's the world that he lived in. I don't know.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, my mom was passed.
Yeah,
so
if she were there.
Oh, we'd sleep together.
Yeah.
Your mom and new
yeah.
house was on. I've done okay in the last couple of years.
No, wait, you said you were in separate beds or separate rooms.
We have our own separate bedroom from the rest of the house.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So now it's clear.
Yeah, okay.
All she knows how to do is go in that damn kitchen and whip up some good food, right? So every morning, you know, my kids would get up early and they'd be out. My mom would be cooking breakfast. I smell bacon and eggs and toast and coffee, and it smells great, right? And one morning, Kari and I were in there getting down, and my mom yells, "Sam, you up for breakfast?" and Eddie had been on me about, man, write it about sex or something, man, like pound cake or something, you know? And so I had no idea. I wasn't planning this. And when she said that, I cracked up, and I went, "Yeah, Mom, I sure am," you know? And it was like, the whole day, I just thought about it, and I wrote those lyrics. And it was like, of course, we all know what it's about, and it's, you know, it's full of cliches and all this stuff, but it's the most fun song to sing, I think, that I've had with this band in years.
Well, I remember you told me in Tahoe that you're like, I wrote some of my funniest lyrics, man, some of the coolest lyrics for this song called Up for Breakfast.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's great. I love this song. On stage, even before the people ever heard it, when we play this song, everybody's smiling and, you know, they're getting off on it. And, you know, it's fun. It's really a fun tune. It's very unpretentious, and it's not, you know, it's not the, you know, it's intelligent music, or intelligent lyrics maybe, but they are kind of intelligent if you really pin them. It's pretty damn good.
Al, what's the best song Sammy's ever written for Van Halen?
Best song he's ever written.
Or your favorite, or something that means something.
I think like most people, you have certain emotional attachments you have to songs, depending on what time of or state of inebriation you heard them in the first time, or what you were doing, if you were in the back seat of a car, or like Sammy when he was, you know, waiting for breakfast. I mean,
wait a minute, did you finish?
Absolutely.
Wow, did you hear that?
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah.
Did you finish?
So that's one of the things that makes musical really powerful. And but one of the songs that I remember was When Love Walks In. That was, I thought it was kind of a tripped out lyric, you know?
A love song.
I'm reading the lyrics now for Up for Breakfast.
Yeah.
So some of them it is. She put the cream in my coffee first thing in the morning. Put that butter on my biscuit. Honey to my melons. Cherries on bananas. Gonna need a second helping. You know, I'm up for breakfast so early in the morning.
And it's about spending the night at his mom's house.
I don't need the back door open. Hot tub, loosen up. Baby's been soaking. Been token, been sipping. Slip, flop, slipping up. Got me dripping. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Alex says Love Walks In is his most favorite Sammy-written Van Halen song.
How about that?
There are a lot of people out there, and one of the guys I work with at Busch Stadium said this one time. He says, when Sammy Hagar joined Van Halen, he turned Van Halen into Lover Boy.
So that's not true.
And that could be one of those songs, no?
Yeah, No, I don't think so. Mm-mm, I don't.
And I was afraid to ask.
About a dream. There you go again. It's another dream. But, you know, the funny thing is that Al, when I first joined this band, Al didn't pay any attention to lyrics. You know, it was like, he didn't even have, I think it was Mark.
He's waiting for the drum solo.
Well, no.
Probably
because
the first
of Dave.
Song, Love Walks In, it kind of got his attention. And all of a sudden, he's going, wait, what's this guy talking about? You know, because for some reason, Al was him and Ed, the music, you know, and okay, write some lyrics and, you know, talk to us tomorrow. You know, it's like nobody cared about the lyrics too much. And you know, of course, since that was my job, I was glad that maybe a song got Al's attention. Because...
So I have to.
Awkward.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just a pause.
I think Alex just felt like he had to give you an answer. He threw that in there, and Sammy was
maybe
appreciative, but that's why it kind of comes across to me, no? You were there. You could have seen how they were.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they make good eye contact with each other
thing. No, they actually get along. It's Eddie and Sammy.
I don't really expect a full answer. But has everything so far, everything's been good? Is it boding well for the future? I mean, I know you probably haven't made any decisions or anything like that, but is it at least on the right track where you think something next year will happen with an album or something like that?
We'd love to make more music. You know, we have a whole backlog of stuff, and I'm sure there's more new stuff that'll come out. I think as a body of work, or whatever you want to call it, we'll make some more music. Whether we give it away, whether we just put it on the internet for free, whether we put it in a record form, whether it's going to be on a, do they still call them albums?
We do. Yeah, MP3. Exactly.
Whether it's MP3s, whatever it is, you know, to try to explain the feeling, and I hope Sammy gets the same thing. When we're in the studio and you come out of that, you come at the end of the day with some kind of an elation, if you will, from hearing what you've done. You can't buy that, you know. You really can't. And we're lucky enough that we're still doing it. So, you know, we'll see.
So the St. Louis shows, of course, are this week. Two nights at Savas Center. Of course, you know, he's legendary in St. Louis. But what are your memories? Yeah. but of course.
What are they?
See, that's the problem with it, because they are joking around so much. There's a lot that was said off the mic that you really can't hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to repeat it.
Well, you were talking about Sammy's popularity in St. Louis, and Alex must have said something.
Yeah, and I don't remember don't what it was, you know.
Embarrassing, they only have one place in the world where I'm big.
Oh, no, that's not true. But, of course, you know, Sammy was there a long time with his solo career before Van Halen. But what are your memories of St. Louis? Now, you just brought up the Checkerdome before. Is there anything else, Al, that comes to mind?
I can't. I'm married now.
No, that's a lame answer.
No, he's thinking of all the women.
Yeah, I know. I don't think anything probably stood out.
He was wasted all the time. He was.
No, just a great rock and roll town. That's really
told
good.
You.
That's what I think.
We used to get from. I can't mention any names, but.
The old promoter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we used to get a lobster the size of a car, man. This thing was just insane.
Stop.
You sold
what?
Out.
What?
So he was talking about getting lobsters and stuff. That was Steve Shankman and Irv Zuckerman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They would have them over for dinner and barbecues, and whenever they would come to town, they would have this feast.
We got to get those guys on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can make that happen.
Especially Irv.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Steve's been around. He talks on the radio from time to time. We've had him on for different things.
Right.
But Irv is totally gone, and Irv's got the best stories.
Right.
A show in St. Louis in the old days, it was before, you know, when I was in Van, before I was in Van Halen, the same thing went for them. The promoter would put this big lobster feed out there for you, man. And he was trying to, I think he was trying to probably just
who knows,
smoke screen to hide the money.
That's right. Those were the old days.
Yeah, you think, wow, no wonder we didn't get paid very much. Look, this lobster must have cost $100,000.
Well, it's certainly great. And, you know, you guys did sound check tonight. There were, you know, they had some fans out there. Did you do that in the old days like that? Did you ever have? I don't think so. How come? Just a kinder, gentler Van Halen?
No, not at all. I think, you know, I can only refer to the past why we didn't do it. Nobody brought it up. You know, it didn't seem like it was the. And back then, you know, you used to cut schedules very close. You were on the bus and you made it 5 minutes before showtime and you go out and play. You know.
Talking about meet and greets?
Yeah, he was talking about doing a sound check for the fans because the fans were down there. It wasn't our promotion. It was in Oklahoma City. Yeah. So
closer to being on time these days. But
you know, people are getting so much more creative. I mean, that's one thing that's come a long way since the old days in touring is that a lot of new things for the fans, you know, like packages where you can make sure you get in early and you get best seats and you get to be in the golden circle and this and that. I think those are all good things for the fans. And you know, we're trying to go along with as many of them as possible because, like from the previous version, 7-8 years ago, a lot of that wasn't happening.
But were those good things for the fans? Because what it's done is push the people who can't afford to spend $1,000 to go to see a concert and get in the circle and all that kind of stuff further back.
Pretty much. And, you know, I mean, bands have broken it down into a science, especially a band like Kiss.
Yeah.
You know, because you can meet them in full makeup, have pictures with them. They'll perform for you. I mean, we've seen it. And it's just the cost is outrageous.
And and some artists, some bands are showing their true colors.
Yeah,
when it comes to money in these situations, I think the Eagles kind of started that. Didn't the Eagles kind of start that whole thing?
When he said Golden Circle, that's what I thought of. Yeah. I thought of Don Henley and the whole, you know, the whole thing with the Eagles.
And the fans were, if we'd have come out and went the old style, just put tickets up for sale and forget you, they'd have probably felt shortened. So you know, we try to just give them everything that's available to give them.
All right, the stage. Have you seen that stage?
Stage is incredible.
You seen that? Huh? Yeah. Good.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, Sammy and Alpha.
Why didn't I think that? What's going on?
See, once again, more talking that I have no idea. Just keep rolling.
Okay.
thanks for taking time. I know you're not doing interviews right now during the tour, so I appreciate you talking to Casey.
Well, we're not doing interviews for two reasons. I don't do sound checks either, except for once in a while when if something goes wrong sound-wise, I go and do it. You know, this show is the hardest show I've ever sung in my life. We do material that is, you know, when you go from Dreams Right Now, you know, Ain't Talk About Love to Best of Both Worlds. I mean, When It's Love. I mean, these songs are not easy songs to sing. I was younger and nuttier when I wrote those songs, those melodies anyway, and not the song, when we wrote those songs. And I got to tell you, throwing them all on a set now and over 2 hours of that is tough on a voice. And I got to tell you, you know, most important thing to me in my life, standing up there and singing good. So, I mean, I start getting a frog in my throat just thinking about it, okay? Don't get me psyched, but you know, the whole thing about
so, even talking as much as Sammy does before a show, I mean, that's strenuous on the voice, too. You'd think he wouldn't do any of these interviews.
And like I said, I don't think he does any, period. And Alex Van Halen, I mean, once again, you hear back, you know, talking in the background there. That's just how he is. You know, if he had a microphone in front of his face, if we were in a studio, we'd be able to hear all that. But you know, he's just having a good time. He was.
It's the most incredible set I've ever done in my life. Every song's a hit. Every song's special. Every song takes you to another place. And that's hard on someone's voice. And that's why I'm not doing interviews. And Al, you know, does some of them by himself. And sometimes when I'm up to it, we do them together. I couldn't resist for Casey. But normally, yeah, we haven't been doing interviews. So I hope you St. Louis fans feel privileged, because it's...
Well, we can't wait. Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll see you out there. Alex Van Halen and Sammy, just thank you, and good to have you back.
Ow!
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike! Iron! We call him Rod Iron Mike. It's Iron Mike, but now he's Rod Iron Mike. Rod Iron Mike.
That's good.
You know, what you said.
Ornamental.
I just went and said hello to the old for the Shinedown. Anyway, the guy was sitting, we were just bullshitting.
Absolutely. Well, fuck, that's respect.
I just looked at him. I was going to give him some words of wisdom. I said, there's nothing else I can teach you guys.
How was Silvertide? How was the other
band? Silvertide.
They rocked. I saw them with Velvet Revolver.
They are a rock and roll
band. They were cool.
You know, Shinedown's great, too. Shinedown's farther along the path, but Silvertide's the new courtesy now.
Yeah.
And they were on tour with Van Halen. I think that's a big statement.
Yes.
You know?
I bowled with them the night they opened for Velvet Revolver in St. Louis afterward.
They didn't look like they could pick up a bowling ball.
They didn't. They sucked.
88 pounds.
Yeah, those little guys, yeah. They were good.
But Shinedown's great. They do a great job.
Cool. Would you do a liner for them, Al? Just so you, this is Al, you're listening to Casey.
I'll have to clear that with Sam.
Well, I'll tell you.
Now they're doing liners. So pause it for a second. So we were talking about Silvertide, opened for Van Halen for quite a bit. But on this tour, it was Shinedown. And you know, Shinedown was still, I don't want to say they were relatively nobody, but they weren't who they are now.
Right.
And I had Shinedown in the studio when they came to St. Louis later that week. And so that's why, you know, they're talking about them right now. And Michael Anthony must have been out in the hallway. You know, cause like I said, we were in a dressing room.
Yeah.
You were with the door open,
right?
I think. And they must have been walking by and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So right now I asked, I guess it was Sammy and Al, if they would do a liner for me. So let's see what they do.
Yeah, it is the only game in town.
Nobody else can find out,
right? See, Alex was worried about doing it. No, did you hear what he said?
Yeah,
he said nobody else will find out that we did it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on,
man. They don't want to make any other radio stations angry?
Right, right. Just like the old days.
Yeah.
You know?
Really? Cut up balls off.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You know Irving?
I've heard a lot about what's going on. I've heard a lot about what's going on.
Give him
some. Yeah.
Sammy's working for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He's.
Fair enough. That's cool.
You can ask Harry.
Peace, love, and happy. No, here. Let me show you Miles Davis trick. Hey, man. How you doing, man? You're supposed to.
Pull you up.
What? Wait, what's going on here?
Can you understand it?
No, not really. I mean, I said something. Let me show you what Miles Davis does.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Something said.
Did it move to another track? Now are they getting ready to?
Yeah, no, it moved on to another track here.
So how long is this one? What does it say?
Six more seconds.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and play it. Let's see what it says.
Thanks, man.
Oh,
That's what Miles Davis did to me in a doctor's office. He goes, "How you doing?" And I hold his hand.
So yeah, it was just that was a fun interview to do.
Yeah,
albeit the situation was really messed up because I now have to tell you a story of what happened afterwards.
Yeah, what happened after this interview?
No. So the show happens and we're like right in. You know, I was standing next to Sammy's wife, mm-hmm. so we were right down in the pit where Michael and Sammy are, and Eddie was not in good condition. And after the show, my friend and I were in settlement, which is where the promoter and the head guy of the venue, they talk about money,
yeah.
you know, and stuff like that. Somebody walked in and said, "Your artist just trashed the dressing room." So Joe, being the promoter, was just like, "Oh God, we'll pay for whatever, you know." So the venue then tacks on, you know, "Hey, we need this much money to, you know, clean it up, you know." So this was a day where there were no cell, cameras on your cell phone. I don't even know if I had a cell phone then. It was 2004. So I asked him, I was like, "Can we go look?" You know? So my buddy and I, Mark, we go in their dressing room. And this venue is like, it was like a locker room, you know, of a sports team that had been transformed into a dressing room. So they kind of cordoned things off. There were black sheets up and stuff like that. Yeah. Walked in there. And it looked like a baby had had a fit and just threw everything on the ground. I'll never forget guacamole on all over the couches that was there. His own, Van Halen traveled with their own caterer. He took his caterer's big coffee pot making thing and just threw it everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a complete mess. There were two dudes in there sweeping up and cleaning up. And we just looked at each other like, "Oh my God.
Really?
I can't believe it." Yeah. And it was Eddie. Eddie did it.
He saw he found some red M&Ms in the M&M
they
thing.
Were brown M&Ms.
Brown, yeah.
Who knows? But like I said, Sammy in his book wrote about that night that after the show, they almost came to blows, him and Eddie. And, they were...
What could it have been about? What could have they... What did they fight about? You make the guitar licks. I'll sing the songs. Well, I guess there's a lot of stuff they could fight about. But to take it to that level, I mean, what? One stepped on the other one's...
I think it's ego. I think Eddie has... Eddie, I remember him always referring to LSD, lead singer disease.
Yeah.
So he was always... You know, that's why he hated Dave. That's why he still hates Dave. It's why him and Sammy didn't get along, you know, because Sammy was getting a lot of attention back, you know, in 95 or 96, I think it was, when he got kicked out of the band.
Yeah.
And so when they were back, you know, Eddie was still, you know, drinking heavily. So you're not thinking properly. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I'm just sure that they were, you know... Sammy was ready to punch his lights out.
Yeah.
You know, Sammy used to be a boxer. I wouldn't have wanted to fight Sammy.
No,
so,
no.
But he wrote about that night in his book. And I remember when I was reading his book, I was like, I was there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was just one of those crazy things. And
did Sammy say what caused the fight in the book?
I'd have to go back and read it.
Yeah,
you know. But you know, the whole tour was like they were saying, "Oh, everything is great and everything." Well, what are they gonna say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't say it sucks. I hate Eddie. He's a prick. You know, he's. They've got to make it sound good, and it wasn't. It wasn't good. So.
All right. Well, good job, Favaz. Excellent interview.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking us to that place and time, because that you really painted a great picture for us here today. Thank you for doing that. And
you're welcome, Johnny.
Well, I didn't expect all that.
Yeah.
Great stories involved too, man.
I couldn't wait to get to that one.
Yeah.
The best one is with the shirt. Will you change shirts to keep world peace?
Yeah.
I'll never, ever forget him saying that to me.
Awesome.
And I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah. Well, there you have the KC Tapes, episode 19. Till next time, U-Man here, John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan or on Instagram at Johnny Hewlett, saying so long. And
KC Guy, Twitter and Instagram.
AMF.
Adios.
My
motherfucker
friend. You bet.
Yep.
The KC Tapes with U-Man and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.